down towards the near corner. Cody Eakin goes in shorthanded, feeds in front, score! It's Carlson! William Carlson shorthanded. Miller, right point shot, score! Tipped out in front, and it's 4-0 Vegas. Here comes Lindbergh, going to get ahead of the defense. He pulls it away, goes circle, he shoots, he scores! Oscar Lindbergh! Now a breakaway, here's David Perron, all by himself, the righty down the middle, fakes, backhand score! David Perron, 1-0 Vegas! Here's Hunt, setting up his man in front, Carrier, score! It's his first goal, William Carrier, 7-0 Vegas!
And welcome in to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a beautiful Friday afternoon, live from Fremont Street at the D, just outside of the View Bar overlooking the promenade. Clayton Hamilton here along with Frank Harnish, and welcome back, Frank. A beautiful, beautiful day. The sky is as blue as it gets.
It is a nice day out here. A little bit of crowd down here in Fremont Street like there always is, especially on the weekend, getting ready for another big weekend in Las Vegas, watching the people do the zip line above us and people walking down below us. And come on down, say hi if you want to, and check it out at the D. We're here Fridays from 2 to 3.
And, you know, I saw the King of Pop earlier on the way in. Michael Jackson is here, as well as the original King of Pop. I saw both Elvi. I saw Young Elvis, and I saw Fat Elvis.
Well, there you go. So you've pretty much already had a complete day, and it's just starting out here. So, but yeah, there's always a cast of characters downtown here at the D, and certainly on Fremont Street.
Cast of characters and a buzz that was missing a little bit last night for the Golden Knights. Frank, they played well, but could not get the victory. They fall 4-2. To Minnesota in their first trip up to the Twin Cities.
Yeah, and we talked about it in the pregame yesterday, and then, of course, certainly after the game quite a bit. Vegas played a good game. They had more chances. They just couldn't put it past Devan Dubnyk, who probably played his best game in a long, long time. We had mentioned before the game yesterday that they had given up 13 goals in their last two contests. The Golden Knights got out to the lead in that third period. It looked like things were going their way, but then Minnesota tied it up pretty much right after Vegas scored that equalizer. And then from that point on, Dubnyk stood on his head and did whatever it took. Vegas hit a couple posts here and there as well, but things just didn't bounce their way. And now, in my opinion, they play a better team tonight up in Winnipeg. So the effort that they did last night, I will say this, if they fail to convert on that many opportunities tonight in Winnipeg, I don't think this will be a good outcome for them. They need to convert when they get the chances.
Winnipeg coming in really hot, winning four straight at home. They're unbeaten in regulation in their last eight games at home. And the Jets posted the second best record in the NHL, Frank, in November at 9-3-2.
And I believe they're 8-2-1 at home. Everybody was talking about the great start Vegas is off to at 9-2. Well, Winnipeg right behind them there at 8-2-1. Home cooking usually does do things for them. And remember this too, Winnipeg didn't play last night. So they've been sitting up there waiting for Vegas to come in. Vegas came off a very hard-fought but a loss in Minnesota, then had to hop on a plane, go up there. A little bit chillier in Winnipeg, even though it was in Minnesota. It actually wasn't that bad in Minnesota. It was about 40 degrees yesterday. So they're going up there. It is a tough road to hoe, but you know what? That's what the NHL is all about. You have to win on the road. Be nice to get a victory tonight. And if not, well, then Sunday certainly Arizona comes in. And so far they've owned the Coyotes. But you have to take it a game at a time. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but I believe it will take a maximum effort for Vegas to win tonight.
There is something to that game at a time. You don't want the disappointing results in Dallas and in Minnesota. You've already lost two games. You don't want those two to beat you a third time, Frank. So it's time to wipe this slate clean, start fresh and anew.
Yeah, without a doubt. And last night in the game, one of the keys to the game I did think was that Minnesota won 29 faceoffs to 23. Now, that doesn't look like that big a discrepancy, but it seemed to me that Minnesota won the big faceoffs when they needed to. We talk about it all the time. One of the most underappreciated things in the NHL, in my opinion, is the faceoff percentage of teams. You win the faceoff, you have puck control. That's what everything leads off it. You lose it, and all of a sudden you're skating backwards and you're on the defense. Winning faceoffs is a crucial thing in the NHL.
A pretty good effort last night. I said, albeit in a defeat, we saw Braden McNabb got his first goal as a Golden Knight. And Jonathan Marchessault was just continuing to pile up the points.
Yeah, Marchessault, certainly he's trying to piggyback with being player of the week from the week before. He has been maybe the biggest star for the Golden Knights here in the last few weeks. He's been out there, and it was nice to see McNabb there. Also nice to see Matteau get an assist on that goal as well. So the two guys getting in there. And that's another thing at this time of the season. They're a little bit banged up. They're injured. There's some guys that are playing hurt, and then there's other guys out of the lineup right now. Pretty much every team can say that, but when you have the problem that they've had between the pipes as well, it's all kind of starting to add up. They've been a great story up to this point. Let's hope that continues.
And in case you missed it yesterday, Lucas Spezza returned from the IR, but David Perron and Will Carrier officially put on the shelf.
Yeah, and last night we saw Derek Englund get a little bit banged up during the game. Puck kind of bounced off him. The trainers were looking at him on the bench. We haven't heard anything official about him or nothing like that. It didn't seem like it was too bad, but in hockey you never know. These guys are so tough, it might not look too bad for us, and the guy might have a broken hand or something on the bench. So, again, I'm not speculating anything, but that is part of the game of hockey. Guys get stitches on the bench. They get banged up, and their mentality is, just do whatever you need to get me back out on the ice.
And we could possibly see Braden McNabb slide in with Shea Theodore if anything is wrong with Derek Englund. Derek Englund's not sat out a game, a little bit of veteran guy. If he's dinged up back-to-back, perhaps this is an opportunity. Brad Hunt was the odd man out last night, and let's not forget John Merrill's still part of this team as well.
Yeah, and that's a nice thing that if somebody does go down on the defensive side, now the offense is a little bit different because we've already seen a couple guys go out, and they've had to bring up Matteau and some of the other guys from Chicago. But on the defense, there is a little bit more depth there, maybe not the chemistry in that you'd want to have, and certainly against a team like Winnipeg, who does like to bring it up and down the ice, and they can score some goals in bunches, especially when they get hot. You want your best defensive pairings, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do and just put things together. I am curious to see who starts for Vegas tonight. Usually in back-and-backs, and we talked about this on the post-game last night, you would think that Max Lagasse would maybe get an opportunity tonight, but I'm not sure what message that sends to Malcolm Subban. Gerard Gallant said after the game last night that he didn't think it was Subban's fault on any of the goals that he gave up. So you wonder, with the young goalie, does he put him right back in again to show that he still believes in him? Or do you say, look, we've got a game Sunday, you just played last night, rest this one, and we're going to put Max back in there, who's been more than serviceable for a guy who, let's face it, didn't even think he was going to be up in the NHL at all this year, and all of a sudden he's played more games than any other goalie for the Vegas Golden Knights.
And just as the Golden Knights tend to be, particularly when it comes to goaltenders, very tight-lipped about who's going to be in net tonight. But overall, when we look at Malcolm Subban last night and the game before in Dallas, both losses, but a lot of people have said, and I think that we probably both agree, maybe his two best games.
Yeah, you could certainly argue that, and I would agree. The loss the game before to Dallas, he played great. He actually kept them in that game. In the first period, he was lights out. He gave up a goal in the second period. It wasn't his fault whatsoever. Complete defensive breakdown. Fox is in front of the net all by himself. Anybody in the NHL basically is going to make that shot, and a decent player is going to make it 99 out of 100 times. It was a wide open net. Subban was just kind of hung out to dry. The two at the end of the period with less than 30 seconds to go, I believe the first one was 26.7 seconds left to go in the period, and then 8 seconds later they scored again. The Vegas defense went to sleep. Subban played well in that game. Unfortunately for Malcolm Subban, the guy at the other end, Ben Bishop, was even more motivated because he thought that he should have had to win the first game of the season when he got injured. He got the shutout that he didn't get in game one. Sometimes that's how things go. Last night in Minnesota, I thought Malcolm played good, but there were some strange bounces, and those are the things you can't control in hockey. And, of course, when Minnesota hit the post, they hit the inside of the post that went in. Generally, when Vegas hit the post, it was either straight on or the outside of the post, and those don't go in.
And what you like about Malcolm Subban was an honest assessment of his performance. Gary Lawless caught up with him after the game last night, and this was Malcolm's reflection on how he played.
Tough loss, obviously. You know, I got to try and make one more save there, and maybe it goes into overtime, you know. On the third one, I thought, you know, could have been a little more patient. Obviously, it came to me pretty slow. I had time to get over and wasn't patient enough. And it's tough, you know, to lose like that.
This is one of those games that shows how competitive the league is.
Yeah, I'm obviously, every night, especially games like this, the last couple of games, sometimes there's not too much and, you got to capitalize and it's tough, they had a lucky bounce and, that's the game. So, it's tough how that goes, obviously, but, just got to try and make one more save there and maybe get a win.
This is a little new for you in the NHL, having the ball and running with it, and you got another game tomorrow. Are you going to be able to flip the page and be ready?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you don't want to totally forget, but you got to have cleared your mind enough to, focus on the next game. And obviously, like I said, tonight it's tough loss, we're right there, but, I got to come back hard next game.
Are you still growing confidence? Like, this is a game where, it's three goals against, but you made a lot of big saves. Are you getting more comfortable in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, my teammates made it a lot really easy for me, honestly, to come in here. Obviously, when I first started, I didn't have too many chances, and they just grew me into, keeping a lot of stuff to the outside, which makes it a lot easier, obviously. You look at tonight, a lot of stuff's from the outside. It's a matter of just controlling my rebounds. I thought sometimes, rebounds got away from me, and I thought I could have played the puck a little better in past games, and I tried to do that tonight.
That's a listen from Malcolm Subban, Frank, and what you like about that is he's talked about his willingness to grow, his willingness to get better, his understanding of the things that he needs to do better, and that has been rebound control.
Well, rebound control is one of it, and what I really like about it is that he took responsibility for those goals. Gerard Gallant didn't put any responsibility on him. He said that his goalie played a great game, that none of the goals were his fault. Malcolm said, no, I could have done better than this. I could have controlled the puck there. I could have cleared it out with a little bit of better stick handling than that. This is a guy who has listened to Coach Dave Pryor intently, and we mention that name a lot. There's a good article on NHL.com today that you might want to check out talking about Dave Pryor, how even Marc-Andre Fleury said the things that Pryor was showing him went against his nature, but they made sense, and he learned some stuff from him. If Marc-Andre Fleury can learn something from a coach, imagine what a youngster like Malcolm Subban can. Remember when George McPhee first signed him, when they made that deal and they announced that he was on the team, and McPhee said, if this guy will listen to our coaches, we think we could have a real steal here. And if not, well, nothing ventured, nothing gained type of deal. He has been listening, and he has been playing well. He still tends every once in a while to rely on his athleticism, which works in the AHL and the lower levels, but that can get you burned in the NHL. But overall, this guy has been playing well, he's been given maximum effort, and he's been doing what the coaches ask him to do. And I love the fact that when the coach says it's not your fault, that you still say, no, this one is on me. That's the type of mentality, team player, and leader that if he can grow into with his athletic ability, he could be a quality goalie down the road. The door's still open on that, we don't know, but I like what I've seen up to this point.
That's a very good point, Frank, when you're talking about leadership and when you see leadership from the goaltender position, it's not going to be your rah-rah guy, your fiery speech guy. It's going to be a guy that leads by example and leads by their calmness in situations where everyone seems to be a bit frantic. And it seems like Malcolm Subban has that personality that can slow things down when everyone else is speeding them up.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because he came in here and a lot of people thought that the Vegas Golden Knights might have taken him in the expansion draft. We got Colin Miller. No, I'm not upset about that at all. But when he became available, it raised a lot of eyebrows. A lot of people are, why didn't you take him in the expansion draft if you wanted him? You have Calvin Pickard here. You just had the guy do a mask contest with the community. He was ingraining himself in here. They saw something. They saw what Boston originally saw when they made him a first-round draft pick. But they didn't think things were working out. They thought that Dave Pryor could get the most out of him. They rolled the dice, they took a chance, and if you're the team from Vegas, isn't that what you're supposed to do? Roll the dice, take a chance, and if it pays off, they could have a goalie for 10 years down the road here. And if it doesn't, it's an expansion season. So far it has. As much as Malcolm has impressed me with what he's been doing, I think I'm even almost more impressed by some of the other young goalies, with Danks before he got hurt, with Max Lagasse, even Dylan Ferguson. It's like, I think Ryan has said it before, Dave Pryor is kind of the goalie whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he says. And when I read today that Marc-Andre Fleury said that he actually learned something from him, that was the most eye-opening thing that I've heard about Dave Pryor from anybody out there. You think Marc-Andre Fleury knows everything about goaltending. If he can learn, anybody can.
And it's exciting to see how Malcolm Subban has taken this opportunity, especially for a Boston franchise that gave up on him twice. and he's really taken the mantle here in Las Vegas.
And real quick, I want to throw this in too. I don't know about you, but I know I held my breath last night when he had the problem with the mask in the back and he had to take it off, because we know that one of the things that people did think stunted his growth as a goalie was when he got hit in the throat by the puck. You see that, and all of a sudden you're wondering, is it in his head now? Is he afraid of that again? Because if Malcolm Subban doesn't feel confident in the mask he's wearing, that can be a big mental block out there, but he performed well after that. But when I first saw that, my first reaction was, uh-oh, what is this going to do to him mentally? Yeah, they can fix it, but if you're thinking about anything other than stopping the puck in the crease there, it could be lights out quick.
And we know so much about what happens with goaltenders tends to be cerebral. It's, what Yogi Berra said, about half of this game is 90% mental, and that certainly holds true for some of the goaltenders. So they have a tall task in front of them tonight, and as we said, we're not been told yet who will be in the pipes. Will it be Max Lagasse? Will it be Malcolm Subban? But one thing that we do know is there's going to be a bevy of offensive-minded forwards coming at that goaltender. When you look at Blake Wheeler, Patrick Laine, Mark Scheifele, a lot of guys that like to shoot the rubber on the net.
Well, I think Winnipeg is aptly named for the team that they have right now, the Jets, because they fly all over the ice. They like to shoot the puck. Sometimes they can be a little bit lax defensively here and there because that's not necessarily this game. We talked about it again last night during the game. The Minnesota game, Vegas wanted to play a little bit closer, not close to the vest. They wanted a little bit more wide open. They wanted to make Minnesota play out of their comfort zone. Tonight, I think they have to play a completely different style, and this is where Gerard Gallant comes in and your veteran players that are out there. If Derek England plays, and I think he will because he doesn't seem that bad, but he's a veteran guy. Certainly Marcia Schultz. I know Perron's not going to be there, but Neil will be. The other guys that have had the experience, this is where you have to be a little bit of a chameleon and go with the team against you. It's going to be a different style of game and a different type of game tonight. What can the Vegas Knights do? They did good against them at the T-Mobile, but they are a different team in Winnipeg.
That is a 5-2 final on November 10th, and that was the first home game back after the East Coast road trip. Some of the media caught up earlier with the Winnipeg Jets. They talked with Patrick Laine, and he echoed a lot of sentiments that we heard from a number of players, and he said that we need to play hard right from the start, just play our game. We want to get a good full 60 minutes. They're always back-checking hard, so we're not going to get many odd-man rushes. Just have to play in the zone and hopefully get a good couple of chances and score. And that's something we heard from Minnesota. That's something that we heard from Dallas, is eliminate some of those odd-man rushes.
Well, without a doubt. And, you know, Gerard Gallant has touched on this when we talked to him over at City National Arena frequently. Every team has a book on the other teams now. There are no more secrets. The scouting reports, all the video we have on everybody, you know what a team's tendencies and strengths are. You might not know it firsthand. Like we heard, Vegas was a pretty quick team. A lot of teams have said, wow, when we actually face them, they're even faster than we thought they were. But they do have that reputation of being a fast team. They're not going to come up and sneak up on somebody and do something that other teams aren't ready for or don't think they can do. The question is, can they do it to their best level and maybe throw in a wrinkle here and there? That's the key to it. That's what will change things up a little bit. With Vegas against Winnipeg tonight, I do expect Winnipeg to come out with guns a-blazing because they're hoping that Vegas is going to be tired from last night's game and maybe also a little bit depressed because they played a hard-fought game and they lost. Vegas has we mentioned the first 5 minutes of games. Mm-hmm. I think tonight's first 5 minutes is more crucial maybe than a lot of the other games, because if they get behind on this team in Winnipeg, that crowd gets into it, Winnipeg gets more confident, and Vegas all of a sudden goes, huh, now we got to go uphill again. I think it's really crucial to get out to a good start tonight.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton live from the D, and Mark Scheifele, one of the leaders of the Winnipeg Jets, he took to the microphone after practice today, and this was his thoughts on seeing the Golden Knights for a second time.
I think obviously we didn't play our game. We were off it, but it's a new day today, a new game, and we got to be ready for it.
What's the key to having success against this club and kind of getting your club to the 2 points at the end of the night that you didn't get against Colorado?
We know they're a good team. You know, they play hard for a full game, and we have to be ready for that grind. For us, it's just a matter of playing our game. You know, not getting away from it, not trying to do too much, and just sticking to our system.
doesn't seem to have mattered who's played up with you and Blake. That your line has had success. Why, kind of as a tandem, do you think you and Blake have worked so well?
You know, Blake's awesome. You know, he's an unbelievable player. You know, he's a good human being. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, for me and him, we talk a lot off the ice. You know, we talk about a lot of things. You know, how to create more, how to be a better line. And you know, he's awesome. He's obviously, you know, one of the most skilled players in this game. And he's fun to play with. And you know, KC has been awesome for us. You know, he's played amazing. You know, he's really gelled with us. And you know, can't take anything away from his game because he's been working hard. He's been doing a lot for our line, and you know, he's been awesome.
One of the things that Blake said about Kyle's game is that it's predictable, in a sense. I guess for you as the center ice, but how does that help you?
Oh, it's awesome. I know where he's gonna be. You know, he's got great instincts. He knows the areas to go to get the puck. He goes to the scoring areas. He goes to the dirty areas, and I think that's the. You know, the biggest thing that me and Blake love about him is he knows those spots to go to, and he's consistent over and over. He does the same things over and over, and you know especially for me, you know, that's something that you definitely appreciate a lot. You know, always knowing where he's going to be, knowing the plays he's going to make, you know, that consistency helps helps with me a lot.
And that was Mark Scheifele talking about playing Vegas for a second time, Frank, and also the chemistry that he's developing with his line mates Blake Wheeler and Kyle Connor.
Yeah, and certainly Scheifele and Wheeler, when you look at Winnipeg, Scheifele with 29 points leading the team, also leading them in goals with 12, Wheeler with 22 assists. That is a very potent line for them. And I'm curious to see, too, the physicality of this game tonight, because Winnipeg has a guy who won a Stanley Cup years ago in Chicago named Dustin Byfuglien, and he is a very physical presence out there. So they can play up and down, and they like to score goals, but Winnipeg also does not shy away from a little bit of contact.
Dustin Byfuglien's speed, strength, and often arrives at the boards with ill intentions, so we'll see how that plays out tonight. A little bit of face-washing and scuffling with Braden McNabb and Derek Englund last time around, so we'll see if that develops into anything. If you want to get up and close and personal with your Knights, though, the Golden Knights are teaming with the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas to host a night with the Golden Knights, that being on Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. December 6th at the ice rink at the Cosmopolitan Las Vegas. Select players will be in attendance for the event. Fans will have the opportunity to skate and take photos with the Golden Knights players, Golden Knights mascot Chance, and members of the Knights crew presented by the Cosmopolitan. The ice rink will also service as a special Golden Knight. They'll also serve a special Golden Knights themed cocktail that will be provided in a co-branded mule mug. So come out, have a drink, meet the players, skate on the ice at the Cosmopolitan on Wednesday, December 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. Boys are coming home after the game tonight. They're going to meet up with Arizona on Sunday. And if you would like to see that game, it's time to call in now to 702-876-1340 to win a pair of tickets. Tickets are going out to caller number 14 if you want to see your Golden Knights play the Arizona Coyotes. When we come back, Frank and I are going to take a look around the league and some things that have happened both internationally and at home. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in Las Vegas. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Friday from the D, live out here at Fremont Street. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton here, taking you all the way through the hour. Going to meet up with you later on today, 4:30 for the pregame show, 5 o'clock for puck drop. But we are out here live right now on a beautiful Friday afternoon at the D. And if anybody's wondering where they can get a large mirror ball necklace, this is the place that you can do it. So come on down. Get a mirror ball necklace, some body art, get your fortune read by Madame Laurie, all sorts of things you can do down here. The one thing you can't do, though, is buy Golden Knights tickets, and if you would like those, you have to go to goldenknights.com. Get the Naughty and Nice holiday package starting at $299. The Naughty Pack is a three-pack of games, Blue Jackets, Kings, and Flames. The Nice Package, Nashville Predators, Vancouver Canucks, or Arizona Coyotes. Or if you're a movie buff like Frank and I are, and remember the old National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation starring the fantastic Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo was in that, They have the holiday pack called the Clark W and the Cousin Eddie, starting at $3.99 for mezzanine level seats. Clark W gets you the Islanders, Flames, and Senators. The Cousin Eddie, the Ducks, Devils, and Avalanche. Go to goldenknights.com for rates and information.
And I will say this, if there was a place downtown where you could get your Golden Knights hookup, it would be right here at the D, because they are the downtown casino and partners with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, and the Long Bar, great place to come and see a game. And, you know, I was thinking about Clark W. Griswold of Chicago, a big hockey fan indeed. He would not be happy with the next story, Frank, and that is Blackhawks goaltender Corey Crawford has been sent to the IR with an undisclosed injury. So not even upper body, lower body. They just don't know what's wrong. Undisclosed injury. Anton Forsberg going to get the majority of the run. Jean-Francois Berube has been called up to be his backup.
And Forsberg has played a few games this year for him, so he's got some experience there. But this is where not having a guy like Scott Darling might really end up hurting this team. We know Darling went to Carolina. He played very well last year. Crawford is a good goalie. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the NHL. He never gets credit for the Blackhawk wins. Everybody says, well, they have Kane and Taze, and they've had Hossa and this one and that one and Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook. Corey Crawford has kept them in a lot of games, and he is one of the big reasons that they won two of those three Stanley Cups they did. This is a big loss for them. The one thing that I have noticed about Corey Crawford the last several seasons, though, is he does tend to get hurt at some point of the season, almost on a yearly basis, and this one here not even saying what it is. It's frustrating enough when hockey says it's either upper body or lower body. When they don't even list anything, that really makes you wonder what it is. But Corey Crawford, he is a good goalie. Forsberg has played well now, but how well will he play when he is the guy who now has to take the bulk of the action?
Yeah, Anton Forsberg, 1-2-2 with a 904 save percentage, 3.67 goals against. So the impetus will be on the offense to keep them in games.
And they've been struggling even with Corey Crawford in the nets.
you know who they could use? They could use a guy that received a little bit of good news today, Frank. And that was one, and I will say, Chicago Blackhawk, not Detroit Red Wing, Chris Chelios. Chris Chelios was elected to the International Ice Hockey Federation Hall of Fame, along with other players Rob Blake, Daniel Avertson, and Yeri Lehtinen. That's a pretty good class.
Yeah, without a doubt, a quality class there. And I would say led by Chelios, although, you know, depending on your team affinities or players that you watched growing up or when you were watching hockey, it might change a little bit. But it is a pretty good class. And this should not be confused with the Hockey Hall of Fame that we talk about with other guys in that. This is the International Hall, and a little bit different set of rules because it's what you've done on the international slate and different things like that. But I know those are the four of the eight people going in, but a nice class there, and congratulations to each one of them.
And that is for, I guess Frank said, international play, not meaning overseas professional leagues, but what it means playing for your national team. Chris Chelios, a veteran of four Olympics, 98, 2002, 2006, and he had gotten started, I think even earlier than that, in 1988, I believe.
I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but I remember watching him play his college hockey on my little black and white screen TV up in years ago. So, yeah, he's been around for a while, and he was a great player. It's interesting, too, when you hear these guys, because he talks about when he played in Chicago and then when he went up to Detroit, and he hated the Red Wings because mm-hmm. he was a Blackhawk. And then he's like, hey, you know what? City's actually kind of cool, and they've really embraced me in that. So the hatred does leave when you put on the other team's sweater. But there's still a little bit of it there when you do wear that sweater. When he became a Red Wing, then he wasn't so much of a Blackhawk fan.
Yeah, and Daniel Alfredsson, not to be forgotten, playing in the Olympics for Sweden five times, winning the gold medal in 2006. And we often think, Frank, that every time that the NHL players have been in the Olympics, oh, Canada always wins. Not the case. They're only 3 of 5, and one of the guys that got them and beat them, Daniel Alfredsson, the captain of that Swedish team.
Yeah, Canada is always favored to win. And there's also a ton of pressure that goes with that because they have the biggest bullseye on their back every time when they're in an Olympics, a world championship, juniors, anything else. Canada's a team. And I know it's interesting because Ryan and I have talked about it with you several times as well, but especially in the hallways in that too, we'll mention, oh, if Canada could could have two teams. They'd probably get the gold and the silver, like you said. Not always the case.
And Rob Blake, a big member of that Canadian national team, and just like I said, great class all around. Yari Lehtinen always sort of gets left out of the great discussions, but really,
yes, and no, that is not the goalie that plays down in Dallas that lets him in.
Right,
this is a guy who actually knew how to stop the puck.
Yeah, this guy was a pretty good skater, one of the best defensive forwards that has ever played, and got a silver medal in those Torino Olympics, losing to Daniel Alfredson. But, yeah, really great class, so congratulations to all of them.
He might have blocked more shots as a forward than Kerry Lehtinen down in Dallas does as a goalie.
That is absolutely, absolutely correct. Hey, Frank, they have announced the NHL Rookie of the Month for November, and it's Brock Besser, who we've seen several times. We got to see him in preseason, got to see him up in Vancouver. What an impressive rookie, 11 goals in 15 games to be named Rookie of the Month.
Yeah, like you mentioned, we saw him in the preseason and he impressed us. And a lot of people were wondering, with Brock Besser coming in here, what's that going to do with the Sedins? Because the Sedins have been the face of that franchise forever. The Sedins said that they love Brock Besser, that this is one of the hardest working kids they've seen out there. They have brought him into the mold. They are happy to share the spotlight with him. Besser might be that star of the future down in Vancouver. This is a guy that the fan base seems to like, that everybody seems to have attached themselves to, and he has been playing lights out, but he did not do it all by himself. There's some other guys in the running there that have played well as well for rookies. Brazil, of course, from the Islanders. Alex DeBrincat, who had his first career hat trick the other day for the Blackhawks. Alex Kerfoot, who, of course, we talked about quite extensively before the season started and since the season has been underway. So there are some good rookies. And, of course, the man with a sandwich named after him back in Chapman's old stomping grounds, Nigel Heischer, was also in that running. But kudos to Brock Besser. I think it's deserved for what he's done so far. But it will be interesting at the end of the season to see who is the Rookie of the Year.
One thing about Besser, he became the second rookie in Canucks history to register double digits in goals in one calendar month. The other guy, Pavel Bure, and we know what kind of career he had.
Pretty good company when you're here. When you're in a conversation in Vancouver and the only other name in that conversation is Pavel Bure, you've done something right up to that point.
Yeah, Pavel Bure, the ex-boyfriend of Anna Kournikova.
Well, there you go, too. So maybe the biggest goal that he scored all along his career was that one. But, Pavel Bure is certainly a good player. And Brock Besser, one of those guys. And that's one thing that I do like about this game. We talk about the veterans and we talk about the old days. And, of course, this is the 100th anniversary of it. We look past at uniforms and players and the 100 greatest of all time and that. But there is so much good young talent in this game right now. Last night we saw McDavid and Matthews going head-to-head with each other. But don't just completely discard the youngsters in the game this season as well, because there's some good talent out there.
NHL also released its three stars for the month of November, and the guy getting the first star, he had a pretty good month, Frank. 5 goals, 15 assists, 20 points in 12 games, 1.67 points per game, and a plus 11 rating for the Avalanche, and that was Nathan MacKinnon.
And Nathan MacKinnon, one of those guys, we didn't know what to expect from him this year. You know, was he going to stay with Colorado? What was Colorado going to do this year? Is everybody there disgruntled? Is it a train wreck in that city? Well, Nathan MacKinnon, showing the professional that he is, goes out there. And we were talking 20 points in 12 days. It's not exactly Gretzky-like numbers, but it's McDavid-like numbers from last year and that kind of stuff. You keep that pace, you got yourself in conversations for a lot of different awards and that kind of stuff. Nathan MacKinnon on a team that still isn't a very good team, well, he's doing everything he can to win the games, and that's all you can ask for.
And he's got to be probably pretty happy with Matt Duchene out of town, and Matt Duchene struggling with Ottawa, and he's saying, well, you know what, hey, maybe it's not so bad here in Colorado.
Yeah, and I mean, let's face it, Colorado, they do have a good fan base. You know, they've been good in the past. I don't necessarily like to see any team struggle, except for the ones that I hate, which I won't go in the list of here right now, because when we had Jamie Hirsch on yesterday, we talked about that. But yeah, in our business, you're not supposed to hate any of them, but let's face it, deep down we do. But no, I mean, Colorado is a good team, and I think it's good for the NHL when Colorado is a quality team. And I'm curious to see if Colorado can get a little bit better in Vegas. I still want a little bit of a rivalry between those two. I know everybody says it's going to be the Kings. You can have more than one rival. I mean, we're battling out for the team of the Rocky Mountains, for crying out loud.
Exactly. Jamie Hurst, boy, was she fun. And if you missed that interview yesterday, it's up at lvsportsnetwork.com. Jamie Hurst from NHL Network, kind enough to join us yesterday. So check that out. Second star to Friedrich Anderson of Toronto. He went 9-2-1 with a 2.14 goals against average and a .938 save percentage and two shutouts to lead the Maple Leafs to a 17-9-1 record and 35 points on the year. He was 10-4-1 in November.
And Anderson, one of those guys, we talked about it long before we started doing this show together amongst ourselves, and I know Ryan and I were doing the Rink Rats podcast. That's Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, of course. We talked about it several times. If Anderson could fit in there and play like we thought he was capable of and do a solid job between the pipes with the young talent they have there, Toronto can be a good team not only of the future but of the current and the present right now. They have some quality talent there. They can score some goals. If they can get goaltending as well, this could be one of those teams that, and I know it sounds like a cliche, that nobody wants to face come playoff time.
And we talked about Nathan MacKinnon and his 12 outings, the 5 goals, the 15 assists, and the 20 points. Well, the third star is not far behind. Braden Schenn actually had more goals. He had 7 goals, 12 assists, 19 points in his 12 games.
Yeah, and again, like you say, you're splitting hairs there. You got a point difference. Do you prefer goals? Do you prefer assists? Do you prefer wins? Whatever. That's one of the things. You can make cases for a lot of different people because some of these numbers will be similar. But, you know, good for him as well. Always nice to see guys. And that's one thing that's kind of cool, too, about whether it's Players of the Month, Player of the Week, whatever you're talking about here. It clearly is kind of like the Golden Knights were when they first built that team on the expansion night. It's a blank canvas. Everybody starts out fresh with the next week. You get hot. You get a hat trick or something. Your team starts winning some games. You get a shutout or two in the goal. Anybody can win these awards any given week.
A guy like Braden Schenn, it's not like he did have one of those games that was a 7 or 8 point game. You know, he had five games that were multi-point games out of those 12. Super 16, Frank, which we always like to look at. It is all about the Metropolitan. Your Tampa Bay Lightning, 17-6-2, are still number one.
I don't have a problem with them being number one, but I'll tell you what, with the parity that we see in the NHL these days, they can smoke a team one night and get smoked the next night. That is the NHL we live in today.
Followed just right behind, for I said, as impressive as 17-6-2 is the Blues, 17-7-1. So splitting hairs again, just a little bit behind are the Blues.
The one thing, and I read about this before the season started, and I kind of questioned a little bit that St. Louis was going to be this offensive juggernaut and score a lot more goals. I wasn't sure that I believed it, but the more I see them, the more I kind of do believe it now. They're a pretty good team there in St. Louis. Not necessarily crazy about that. Never been a big Blues fan, but they're getting the job done. They're getting goaltending and some scoring. Tarasenko, I always thought, was the star of that team. Now there's other guys helping him out. They could be dangerous.
All bunched up here at 3, 4, and 5 go Nashville, Predators, Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Winnipeg Jets.
Winnipeg, I like what they do offensively. I love Columbus because of Bobrovsky. I do think that he might be the best goalie in the NHL right now at this point of his career. And, of course, Nashville, they made it to the finals last year for a reason. Pekka is a great goalie when he's on, but they also have a little bit of depth at that position, and they have the talent and now the experience in the playoffs. This is a team that I not only believe will make the playoffs, I think they will make a deep run into the playoffs.
And Columbus, one of those teams you want to talk about how good Bobrovsky is. They are 9-0-1 in games decided by one goal this season, 8-1 in overtime or shootout, 5-0 just flat out in overtime. And they're doing all of this with a league-worst power play of 8.8%.
Yeah, and if they ever do get that power play working and get a little bit more confident, then look out for real how dangerous it can be. The one thing that I don't necessarily like about them is sometimes I think if they get a lead, they tend to sit back a little bit and count on Bobrovsky too much. I kind of like that mentality of when you got a guy down, kick him, try to keep on playing your game. If you can get a two-goal lead, a three-goal lead, that helps you that much better. When you kind of go into that defensive shell sometimes that can hurt you.
And rounding out the top 10, the Maple Leafs, the Islanders, New Jersey Devils, LA Kings, and the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, well, LA and Vegas being that far down, well, they're the top two in their conference, so maybe still not getting the respect that they deserve, but you know what? We say it in every sport out there, East Coast bias. Yeah, maybe it's in the NHL as well.
And the Golden Knights at least up two spots from where they were last week at number 12. When we come back, Frank and I are going to talk about a fella who got hazed a little bit in the old locker room, and I want to see what Frank thinks about the way that this fella was treated. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton here with Frank Harnish live at the D outside the View Bar overlooking the promenade of Fremont Street. And
I think Chapman is playing that just because we're right by Slotzilla here.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We
are by the big Slotzilla. So it's fantastic. We're going to be back with you 4:30 for the pregame show, 5 o'clock for puck drop as the Golden Knights head up to Winnipeg to play them for the second time this season, the first time up there in Canada. And, you know, guys, Frank.
Yes, sir.
And Chapman, are you familiar with Danny Belisle?
Danny Bonaducci, what was that?
Danny Belisle. He was a Canadian hockey player from South Porcupine, Ontario.
That's legitimately the name of the town he's from?
Yeah, he's from South Porcupine, Ontario. Had played in the minors for a little bit and had a successful NHL coaching career. But when he was called up in 1960 to the NHL,
That's before my time watching a game.
He was called up to play for the Rangers on Christmas Day. Now, that's a nice story, right? Christmas Day called up. They're going to play the Montreal Canadiens. Rookie out there, first game, Jacques Plante. Maurice the Rocket Richard played in that game. Jean Beliveau, Dickie Moore. All of those guys he got to play in the first game with, and he scored a goal.
All
impressive.
Right. Sounds like a nice start to a career.
It's a good start to a career. The problem was, when he got called up, he didn't have his own hockey gear.
Oh.
So he had to wear Red Sullivan's equipment, because Red Sullivan and he were about the same size, and he was hurt, which is why he got called up. So they gave away Red's gear.
Okay.
So he's putting on his gear, getting ready for his fourth game. Now, he had two goals in four games, and that's pretty decent. Good start to his career. So he put on his stuff, getting ready to play. Trainer came out and said, "Hey, kid, I think Camille Henry's going to play today instead of you. You got to take off your stuff so he can wear it." So he had to take off all of his stuff, right, to get ready for the other guy. Well, then the trainer came back in. He said, no, kid, he's not going to play. Camille's not going to play. You got to put your stuff back on.
Okay.
So he put his stuff back on. So then he came back in. He said, no, I'm not sure if he's going to play or not. So I tell you what, just get half dressed. Like, keep the bottoms on and then get ready to go out, you know, and put the other stuff on. So he had to put his suit jacket and all this stuff on, and then his pants and stuff and the skates underneath. Well, then they came back in and said, he's going to play. We were just playing a trick on you, and everybody laughed at him. Now, the problem with this story
is
the next day they sent him down, and he never played in the NHL again.
Oh.
Well, so they punked him and then caught
him. And then cut him. How do we feel about that?
That's very disappointing.
Cool.
No, that's not cool.
I am totally against that. If you're going to play jokes on somebody because he's now part of the gang and part of the team and it's initiation, okay, it's still not my thing, but I see it. But to do that to him and then send him down and he never plays again?
Never played again.
That's terrible.
Danny Belisle. Never played again. The New York Rangers. Another reason, Chapman, to hate the New York Rangers.
Well, as if we needed another reason. They're not the Montreal Canadiens, mind you, but, you know, they're close.
I feel bad for the guy. Imagine that your first game, though, you get Jacques Plante. You get a goal.
Yeah.
How good is that?
The guy's still alive. He's got some story to tell his grandkids.
And he has to go get punked like that.
Well, I'll be honest with you. If I was that Camille guy, I wouldn't be crazy about this guy putting my clothes on and off and on and off all the time and then having to wear them either.
I know. Imagine that. The Rangers didn't have enough money to everybody have their own gear. Have changed. Well, we'll be back 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock puck drop. Stick around. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next. Big news. Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame, a class announced next.
Thank you.